Hello, nerds. I have a couple of things of housekeeping I want to do before we get into the episode. First, we mentioned video. Yes, there is video out there, and it exists, but it will not be released today. There is a Shrek Attack YouTube coming. I have to learn the video editing software, meaning it will get out when I have time to learn that. Second thing, 2 weeks ago, I released on a Friday. Last week, I took a mental health week. I appreciate you guys all understanding, so there was no episode. Today, I'm not able to edit until really late. And next week, I'm adding soccer coaching to my Thursdays. Therefore, I hope you guys understand because I already made the executive decision. Next week, I want to start releasing on Fridays instead of Thursdays. I already planned on doing that for Season 2, so we are just going to get a head start on opening on Fridays. Unless my schedule somehow changes by Season 2, we'll get there when we get there. That's next week, starting Fridays, we will be releasing. Thanks for understanding, let's get into the show.
Yeah.
Holy shit, there's video.
Video?
Yeah, there's a person here.
What is... that's you? I can see you.
Welcome to Shrek Attack, everyone. I'm your host, Brandon Shrekengoss. With me today, we have meandering Mitchell Yard. Mitchell, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I had to set an alarm for this. You had me up early.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm a little bit of an early riser.
It's 11 in the morning. I'm pretty sure all normal people are up. I just have a shit schedule. This is the prettiest I've ever looked for a podcast.
You did look quite gorgeous.
I washed my face. I put on lotion. Comb my hair, put a little gel in. You're a lot more silver since I've seen you last in person.
Yeah, it's been a stressful life, I guess. COVID happened, and it was already on its way, but then it really started popping. So
rocking it.
Trying to.
I just have this little bit of pepper in my beard that people like to point out a lot. They're like, oh, you're old. I'm like, what can you do?
Yeah, I've not found too many in my beard yet, but I do have a couple silver chest hairs, which threw me off. I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't have silver chest hairs yet. I do have, I'm not going to lift my arms for the camera for this, but I do have two different lengths of armpit hair right now because I had to get a sleeve on my, and finally show this to the world. Hey. I've got a sleeve on my left arm. I had to shave my left armpit because we were getting up in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Got a sleeve going. Got to get colored in. Fun stuff. The 22nd anniversary of Kingdom Hearts was actually yesterday. Ooh. So that's what my entire sleeve is dedicated towards.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
That's always been your shit.
It has been. Even whenever we were like unofficial roommates in college.
Yeah, fucking long ass time ago.
Yeah. 10 years, dude. 10 years.
Don't say that. I try to block out the length of time that's passed as much as possible.
Imagine this. Whenever I talk about high school these days, I still talk about like, a few years ago, I was playing soccer and stuff. Like, I coach YMCA soccer now. And I'm like, back a few years ago, whenever I played soccer, then I'm like, oh my god, it was fucking 15 years ago. Everybody run laughs for me realizing it was 15 years ago. Speaking of sports, no longer doing baseball stuff, huh?
No, I kind of stepped away from most of the athletic stuff. I still play like pickup softball here and there, but baseball I pretty much stopped once I started coaching it a little bit, which I coached for a couple years. It's fun. I still love it. I don't have the time to dedicate to it like I have to when I am competitive, because I'm sure you can kind of relate to this where it's like, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it and be good. Because then, especially when it's something you used to be like decent at, when you go back and you do it and you're not as good and you're like really frustrated.
See, I still feel decent at it because whenever I play with a bunch of 8 to 10 year olds, and they're just I'm sure they're faster than me, like scientifically, but because I'm so much bigger than them, one stride is like five steps of theirs, and they just can't keep up. But I do get tired after like 3 minutes, and they're still going.
Yeah, definitely got the short bursts still, but the longevity is just not there.
Something we can talk about real quick. You said you're a coach. I'm a coach. It's maybe like coaching styles real quick, because I'm a newer coach. I don't know how into coaching you are.
So I coached two, well, so I assistant coached and like helped coach for a long time, but I was like official like coach for well, unofficial head coach, official assistant coach, but for a couple years. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I have certain advice possibly. Do you have any specific things you'd want to know?
So my thing, I coach kids. I don't know how what age group you coach. I coach 8 to 10 year olds. I
Yeah, I was.
found over my one short season that I was trying to do like drills, trying to actually teach them, and like I was trying to do the coach role like my coaches did whenever I was in high school. You know, they sat on the sideline. They're like, "Oh yeah, but it'd be better if you did it this way." I found it's better if I actually just, I mean, soccer to baseball might be two different things too. But I found it's better if I actually put on some cleats and get myself in there and demonstrate. And then they're more motivated because for whatever reason, kids want to kick your ass at everything.
Oh yeah. I've definitely found the same thing. I mean, anytime you can physically show someone what to do, it does two things. One, it makes it easier for people who are, visual learners, because we're learning different ways. So if you can, listen to you, see you, I forget what all the other learning styles are, but you get what I'm saying. I don't think you're going to be really writing anything down, but the more options you give them to learn, for real. What'd you say, coach? Take a lap is what I said. No, but so yeah, I think the more options you give them as a, everyone's going to learn different. So if you can hit on multiple styles, that obviously helps. And I think it also gets you a lot of respect, because especially there's a couple different age ranges as a coach where I think you have struggles. I think as a young coach, you have the struggles. So I was coaching high school. And I mean, I wasn't young, but I, mid 20s. And I feel like there was that bit of like, oh, how would you know? What would you know kind of thing.
Like, you look maybe the same age as us, you know, besides all the silver.
But then I think when you get older, you also have like, you kind of revert back to that. Like there's that sweet spot where like, and this is going to depend on your physical appearance and all that stuff and how you carry yourself, obviously.
Working on gaining rid of the beer gut that I've gained over my 20 years, my 20s, where I was a depressed piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm still currently working on mine as well. I'm actually down from about 6 months ago. I'm about 20, 25 pounds down.
That's awesome,
So,
dude. That's awesome. I'm the
yeah.
same weight, but like I go to one of those gyms that are super scientific, and I've lost over the past 2 months 12 pounds of fat. And
Damn.
but I put on 12 pounds of muscle, so I look the same, like I have the same weight on the scale. If it
Yeah.
wasn't for the scientific method behind it, I would probably be like ready to give up. Like, this shit's not working. But
Yep.
I'm stronger, I'm less fat. It's pretty cool.
That's literally I with that and a little sidebar here, bring it back, but that was my motivation for the whole thing. Like I wasn't overly, not satisfied or dissatisfied with my like appearance. It was more I just didn't feel good and I wanted to like feel better and be healthier in general. Anyways, to bring it back in to the whole like sweet spot, I do think there's that sweet spot where you have enough of an age gap between you and the people you're coaching, and you're not too unphysically fit or not physically fit. I don't know what words are. To where if like okay, if I tell someone how to take a ground ball and I can't
Take
do
the
the
ground ball
correct
yourself,
technique,
yeah.
yeah, it's you don't have that level of like connection.
I would struggle being a center fielder teaching them because they'd send one like fly ball and I'd be like, "No, that's over there. Left field, that's you."
Yeah, it's and it is weird. I mean, if you don't practice that stuff, the first time you go back up there, you're going to feel a little shaky. I feel like I haven't been out of it so long to where I don't like, I still feel confident doing anything on a baseball field. So it's not too much of a big deal.
I used
But
to know how to throw about five, six different types of pitches, but the velocity just wouldn't be there anymore.
yeah, same. Every time I'll throw BP and I'll be like, oh, I still throw a little bit of a curveball. But then like 20 pitches later, I'm like, all right, no more curveballs. But
All
yeah.
knuckles now because the knuckleballs do the work themselves.
Oh,
So
I
much
love
that you don't even have to control over them. They just do what the fuck they want.
literally. Yeah, it's nice to watch too. A little bit of the knuckle shake, you're like, all right, cool.
There was
Work.
a video that came up on my timeline, getting a little off brand here again, but it was all knuckleballs. It was five different levels of knuckleballs. I watched it like six times in a row because knuckleballs are just so fucking pretty.
Oh,
Pissed me the fuck off in MLB The Show, but
dude.
yeah, they're
Yeah,
so pretty
yeah.
to watch.
I used to make a knuckleball picture like every year, like every new show that would come out, and I would literally just keep his like maybe bump the speed up a little bit, but just movement up the entire way as fast as possible and then control up as fast as possible. And then if you could do that, like it was just unfair.
I make a control guy. I like nothing more than throwing like five fastballs in a row and then all of a sudden hitting them with that changeup and they're like you let go of the ball and they're like, whoo, and then like 5 seconds later it goes past them.
Yep. That's
So
the worst
amusing to
feeling in
me.
actual baseball too. That's
I
so
bet.
terrible.
I haven't played baseball since let's see here. I was probably in fifth grade, so whatever age that is, and the ball didn't move that fast back then, everything was a change
Same.
up.
Yeah.
Then as soon as I got like I was a very uncoordinated kid. And as soon as I got coordinated and was able to like my last year, the thing is, I hated my coaches.
Yeah.
Like whenever I was in Katanning. But whenever I moved to Worthington, because I was like on the edge, they realized that I was actually becoming like a coordinated kid. I understand why the Katanning guys didn't have faith in me, but in
Yeah.
my last couple of seasons of Katanning, I was hitting triples regularly, and not quite enough power to get over the fence, but I hit that fence a lot.
Yeah.
And they were still, because I wasn't a coach's kid, and they were so used to me being this uncoordinated little fuck, they would still sit me half the game. And they
Yeah.
only played me because they had to. I went to Worthington, and they were used to playing me while I was in Katanning, and they'd be like, I remember the first game. The assistant coach who never watched me play before made the lineup, and the head coach was reading it. And he's like, all right, playing third, batting first, Brandon Schreckengost. Brandon Schreckengost? What? Brandon? What do you mean? I'm like, coach, I'm actually like a lot more capable than the other coaches thought I was. And he's like, yeah, we'll give it a go. If it doesn't work, you're coming out halfway through. I'm like, great. First play, fucking double. I was a little bit quicker back then. I smacked it. It wasn't even a deep one. It just went in the gap good enough for me to get a double. And I ended up coming around scoring. I went to the bullpen and the guy was like, yeah, I guess you can play. I was like, who
Yeah,
knew? The mistake though was playing me at third base because I did not have the arm to get that over there fast. I could field well. I should have been a second baseman though.
I was just gonna say, it seemed like you'd have been a good second baseman then. Yeah.
I
Hey,
know baseball a little.
you used to run a shit ton, didn't you?
80 miles a week, baby.
Yeah, you're wild. I don't know if I've run that far ever.
Whenever I quit running, that's whenever the beer got caught up to me, and that's whenever the depression hit, and it was kind of a spiral. But we're digging our
Yeah.
way back out now, you know?
Hey, that's all you can do, man.
That's all you can
Slowly but
do.
surely.
Yeah, but coaching kids, another thing is like you were mentioning, we have knowledge of the sport. So at first, I was letting my assistant coach set the lineup, and we were just pretty much letting the kids pick.
Yeah.
And we were, oh, how many games are in season? Oh, 4-1. Six games in the season, we lost four. The first one we got blown out. The second one was close. The third one we lost by one. The fourth one we tied. Or the fifth one we tied. Whatever. Numbers. But I don't know why I look over here for numbers. I'm looking at myself. You're here. Levels are over here. Just for people who are watching on camera, I'm looking all over the place because I have different things going on. So it's the last game, and the kids want to win. And during practice, they're like, hey, can we win this one? Like, it's our last game. I was like, I can't really control that. I would love to win.
Yeah.
I went home. I pondered it. I've had 6 weeks to learn what these kids are good at, what these kids aren't good at.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and made a game plan, and I sent it to my assistant coach, who was a good coach, but much more of like good to work with, like motivational coach.
Yeah.
And I knew more. I don't want to say I knew more, but I knew more.
Yeah.
But I went home, I made a game plan around the kid's strengths and weaknesses, just how I position them. Like, his son, no matter where we put him, would run towards the ball. That's a that's a midfielder right there. Middle midfielder. Yep. And we had these couple girls on the team that would just naturally always fall back to play defense, you know? So we just slapped them back at defense. And we had this one kid who had such a wicked foot that whenever I played goalie, he could get it past me. And the problem is, he was too friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had a full conversation with his dad. I was like, your son would be an awesome fucking soccer player if he was a little bit more selfish and a little meaner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I picked it up last week whenever he knocked over a kid and completely stopped going after the ball to go help him up. And I was like, great attitude to have outside of soccer. On that field, it's you and your team, though, you know?
Yeah,
I'm like, I know I preach passing, like, teamwork is the thing, but with his right foot, like, his right foot was kissed by God himself. And, like, he could be a great soccer player. So I put him up on offense. He ended up scoring the first goal. The kid I moved at midfield ended up scoring three of the goals. And then one of the girls I moved back to defense somehow scored the goals. So, you know, it was cool. They won 5-0.
Because
I went out of the way. I made this game plan. And it could have just been luck of the draw on the team. I like to think I had a little bit to do with it. But, you know, it was cool. My mom's like, I don't like kids. It's not that well known. It's not that like big of a secret. It's like a well-known secret, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom's like, you were like in there smiling and high-fiving kids. And I was like, there's one thing I can teach these kids, it's that there's no better feeling in the world than winning a competitive game.
Oh, yeah.
No better feeling. And I mean, you would think if they play like Fortnite or something, they know that.
No.
But that's different.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It feels real, like, there's professional sports now, and I'm sure winning that feels great. I was born about 5 years too soon to be in that scene. Because after it became popular, and I was the number one GEB player in the world on Smite on console, console pro scene didn't come up till five years later. Like, the thing is, like, I'm sure that'd be great and cool, but by the time it got to where I could, I was an adult and I had to have a job to pay the bills, you know?
Yep.
But, like, I tell people all the time, if I could chase the high of playing one last soccer game in Highlands, that was our rival whenever I went to school, at their field, because their Katanning didn't have a big soccer fan base, but Highlands did. And those fans shit talked. To the point where whenever, and I was a physical player. I know soccer isn't considered physical, but like whenever I towered over people. I was a lot bigger than everyone.
Yeah.
Mind you, these are just noodles, but they're still just noodles. But like, you get enough hip thrust into somebody and you do it to where the ref doesn't notice you hip thrusting. That's the key.
Yeah.
My nephew plays soccer, that's why I coach. And he was talking to me yesterday. He's like, well, why do I need my arms for soccer? And I was like, I can show you. And I was like, stand next to me. And so he stood next to me. I just gave him a little bump. And he's like, you didn't even move. I was like, yeah. Once you master that, like, on your way, you know?
100%.
But yeah, I was a physical player, and the crowd was like, "Number 25, he's a monster. Watch, give him a yellow card, give him a red card, number 25." And you know that energy, like you feed off that. You want to beat them.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And I end up getting taken off the field for flipping off the crowd. And then my coach chewed me out, put me back in. We lost 1-0. I came so close to scoring multiple times, and I wasn't a person that was supposed to score. I was supposed to set up the goals.
Yeah.
The game ended. We're on our way to the bus. I still have my jersey on. The coach pulls me aside. He's like, "You gotta take that jersey off." I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You're gonna get in a fight if you keep that on." I took that jersey off, but I had fucking black hair, and whenever I spiked it, there was red underneath. I was unique.
Yeah.
So, you know, they still recognized me. They still shit talked me the whole way to the bus. I wasn't allowed to
Nice.
retaliate. If I retaliate, it was five suicides.
Oof.
Yeah, you know what
Yeah.
suicides are, right?
Yeah, definitely not worth it. Definitely
Yeah,
not worth
no,
it.
yeah. As much as I ran, suicides are still miserable.
Yeah, I don't, especially on a soccer field, I imagine that's much worse than most of the ones I've done. I mean, I've done football suicides, but not, well, there's some of them that were pretty terrible. I didn't mind basketball suicides, though.
Basketball
They were
suicides
usually
are
pretty
fine.
short.
Yeah, they're
Yeah,
pretty
short.
short. What is baseball's equivalent to a suicide?
Don't really think there's too much. I mean, the only time you would do that kind of movement in baseball is if you're in like a pickle, which is just like a rundown back and
Right,
forth.
right.
But I the running part of it would maybe just be like running the bases. That would be like kind of the equivalent.
If your coach is pissed off at you and wants to hand out some sort of punishment, what is the baseball punishment that you don't want to do?
Probably pole to pole. So left field pole to right field pole.
Okay, yeah, I could see where that'd be miserable.
Yeah, it that or home plate to fan. Like, so if it's like a couple people, it's pole to pole because they can do that and not distract people. And you're like, depending on how pissed off you made them, you might be able to run like straight line, or you might have to run like the fence,
I was
which
thinking the
obviously
fence, which would be,
fence
yeah.
is terrible. If it's like everyone, he might just have everyone line up at like home plate and then run out the center field and run out back. Either way, we had a in college specifically, we had a really big field and that was a really far run.
You guys were the team.
What do you mean?
We didn't have a football team in college.
Oh yeah. No, we the only team that we really competed with was the lacrosse kids, and that really wasn't a thing too much until maybe even my junior year. But I mean, they weren't.
I played soccer my freshman year and cross country, obviously. That's
Yeah.
whenever you knew me. But after my freshman year, my knees were so beat up that the trainer was like, "Yo, unless you want to be in a wheelchair by the time you're like 30, you might want to give up one sport or the other."
Yeah.
And to go from a high school everyday starter to I got 3 minutes my entire season playing freshman year of college, the cross country team needed me more. I went to them.
Yeah, I was close a couple times, just bailing on it and doing my own thing, but
You were a slugger, though, weren't you?
yeah, I mean, I ended up being I similarly, I mean, high school, I played five sports my senior year and started all of them and was like ranked in the county and in the leagues and all that shit and all of them. And then went to high school or college and I barely played at all my first 2 years. Almost quit my sophomore year. And then my junior year I started like pinch hitting and kind of like select spots. And that became a pretty common thing. And then eventually DH, and then my senior year I DH'd pretty much the entire year, and then I ended up having a good season, and it was first all region team for DH, and then I think I had an honorable mention or two in the like the All-American talks, but never anything official for that. But
I remember I kept up with sports. I kept up with baseball pretty much strictly because you were in it, and then cross country because I knew all those kids. Yeah, you were the only baseball player I talked to, I'm pretty sure. Talked to some of the softball girls, but so but I remember I kept up with the baseball team. I would go back and I'd be like, oh, sick, Mitch hit a homer, you know? Like, Mitch did this. So to me, it was like, yeah, Mitch is doing well, despite not knowing what's actually going on in baseball, what's going on in everything. I remember Johnny was doing fucking awesome at cross country, but I would get regular updates from Jeff, who was my roommate and then and teammate and then eventually coach, you know? So I like to throw that in there because he hates whenever I tell people that. So why not tell the entire internet?
100%.
Yeah. So in college, while playing baseball, what did you major in stuff?
So I went in computer science for like a year and a half, and I fucking hated it. So I ended up switching to business management and marketing. Got into a fight with my parents about it because my dad had a business degree and never used it for however long. But eventually was like, yep, nope, this is what I'm doing. I basically went to, or chose La Roche because of the baseball team. Like I wanted to be on a good baseball team, which worked out. Got a
I went
couple
to La Roche
championship
for the
rings.
soccer team. I quit soccer after my freshman
Yeah,
year.
there was a lot of people. We had a lot of people that would have very similar experience for the baseball team too. Like you'd have people that came in the fall and halfway through the fall they're leaving, or like first come like spring semester they're leaving. But yeah, changing my major, changed it kind of late, so I ended up taking an extra year to graduate, which is pretty standard for La Roche, especially with how their oh, what's the word? The advisors and shit
Yeah.
are. They kind of fucked me twice, actually. I thought I was supposed to be able to graduate after just an extra semester, and they're like, oh no, you need these like four more classes. And so I took those four classes, and
Like,
then I
why
go
didn't you
to,
tell me?
well, yeah,
I would
exactly.
have fucking worked harder.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, get this. They told me that, and I was like, all right, cool, did them all, and then get to like the graduation shit, and they're like, oh, you need one more. I needed the La Roche experience class. I needed one
Oh my
more.
God, the La Roche experience. That
Yeah,
was
so I
such a
had to wait.
joke of a class.
I had to wait till the following August to take one class. It was one day. I showed up, did all the shit, and then got the thing. But it pushed my graduation
It
and
technically
everything
says
back so
one
far.
fucking day. It's so
Dude,
dumb.
I was so fucking
I was
mad.
a comm major, and I always wish I went back to computer science just because like I was always good at it, and I'd make a lot more money than what I make now. I don't use my degree. My degree is a pretty piece of paper somewhere. It's not even
I
on my
never even
wall.
got mine. I never even
Oh,
got
yeah,
mine.
well, it's pretty pointless.
I remember they're like, oh yeah, if you want the like the printed one, it's like $100. And I was like, no, I will literally never look at it. So I
I think my
have.
mom wanted it, not me. And then whenever I moved out, she's like, take this, it's yours. I'm like,
Yeah, no, hard pass. Sorry.
it's just gonna sit in some drawer somewhere. I don't even know where it's at. I don't care where it's at. I never use it. It's
I've
pointless.
never even been asked for it, dude.
No.
Any job I've ever had, they're like, hey, you do this? I'm like, yep. I mean, granted, I'm
My
sure if I needed like specific
current
certifications,
job,
maybe, but
like I didn't need it, but because I had it, I did start at a higher rate. Now, if I didn't have it, here's what the big difference would be. If I did not have that, I'd be making the same amount today that I am now because I would have worked my way towards it with experience. And I wouldn't have however many thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah, I tell a lot of people, like as far as college goes anymore, like if you don't want to specialize, don't go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I literally, if it would not have been for baseball, I would not have gone to college. I would much rather have taken that same amount of money I spent on tuition and started my own business and learned the real world way. Like I would be so much further ahead that way.
Even if you like if you have no clue like me, whenever I went to college I had no clue what I wanted to do. And then whenever I got there, because like I was good at computer science, bored the shit out of me, much like it did you. So I wanted to talk about sports. Turns out if you're not a pro athlete, like an ex-pro athlete, it's not that easy to get in and talk about sports. So now I'm just like not using it, and I tell people all the time, like high schoolers especially, like if you don't know what you want to do and you're not going for like computer science or something super specialized, go start a job. Like, a minimum wage job is better than going however much money in the hole that you gotta go to not use it. We just go to college because America tells us to go to college, but they tell us to do a lot of shit in America that's would get me canceled.
That's the not a safe space topic for sure.
No.
Even computer science stuff anymore, like, you can do a lot of certifications where you really don't need a
certification. I'm actually planning on starting a certification program online here through Google. $30 a month, 6 months is the average time it takes to complete it. Like, yeah, I'm actually probably going to do that soon because I'm sick of going to work and getting my ass kicked all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I just bought, actually, 2 days ago, I just bought a course for YouTube. So I started YouTube last year, had some decent growth, and then kind of fell out of the passion for it. Have done some soul searching and regathering stuff. But I bought a course for the first time I've actually spent money on an education since college, and it was $1,000, which I was not happy about spending. But
nobody's happy about that.
Yeah. But the way I looked at it is, I was torn up on spending $1,000 for something that will help me towards my passion of something that I've wanted to do forever. And I spent literally, like, I don't even want to put a number out there because of how much I spent on my college education.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me, I was like, should I really be worried about spending this much money when I already spent this much money for something I definitely didn't want to do? And I, like, I know I want to do this.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my justification.
College is also one of those things where, like, we should not be able to make it at the age, like, make that decision at the age of 18.
Yeah.
What the fuck did I know at 18? I thought girls liked me at 18. I thought I was such a player. Nah. High school, college Shrek was a different animal. I've calmed down a lot since then.
I think I caught you at, like, kind of the tail end of that. Not quite the, like, you weren't, like, full swing when we were friends, because that was, like, your last year of college, and, I mean, that was kind of, like, my last year of college. I was a lot more chill than the first few, but...
you kind of mature over the process of it.
Yeah, yeah. Better or for worse, hard lessons.
Then you get out, and then you realize how shitty the real world is, and there's... I handled that horribly wrong, but that's another story for another day. Let's get into, because I was kind of hinting towards it with your college degree, what did you do immediately after college? Because we're going to work our way up to what you're doing now, which is a lot cooler than what business management sounds like, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot happier now. But right after college, I actually took a job with Walmart as a salaried manager there, managing business. So, I mean, technically using my degree, but I don't think really having the degree did too much. Loved the position, loved the responsibilities, hated the atmosphere, and hated the, like, upper management. Like, not necessarily the people in us upper management, but just, like, the processes and the understanding of everything and how it worked in upper management.
Yeah.
I've always thrived around people. So, like, at the Walmart that I worked at, I want to say it fluctuated between seasons and stuff, but we were somewhere between 350 and 400 associates. At the peak of what I managed, I want to say I had, like, maybe like 50 or 60. And I loved that. I loved having people come to me. It was really weird, especially at first, when people were coming to me for, like, questions and stuff. And I'm like, guys, I'm new here. I don't know anything yet. So I had to go to people who had been there for, you know, 20 years to learn the processes and stuff, and then to turn around and then manage them. Yeah. So it was definitely an interesting dynamic, and, like, trying to figure that out. As far as, like, the whole, like, processes and why I ended up leaving, it was just, it's so much, like, politics shit, like, kiss people's ass, do stuff because this manager is coming in, and then you change everything and do it differently because the next manager is coming in. I'm like, dude, I just want to have a process that we stick to and that makes sense and that we can do the entire time. I don't this whole back and forth shit. Not only is it hard for it's not only hard for a management standpoint, but it's hard on your people. And being someone who connects to people's energies with that so much, if you piss someone off or if you upset someone or whatever, you frustrate people, I literally just feel it. I hated that. So decided to get away from that.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. And then you kind of evolve to the point where you're making this cool ass content online, painting naked women, making these awesome edits where your brother's baseball bat is on fire. How did you get to that?
Super quick recap of everything. I bought a camera while I was still at Walmart, and it was literally kind of on a whim, and it was because I wanted to do YouTube. That was my one of my main goals. But I started taking pictures, and I found out that I like doing waterfall pictures. So I started taking those, and I started posting them. And people would be like, "Hey, I like your pictures. Will you do my pictures?" And that turned into, "Will you do my senior pictures?" And then that turned into, "Will you do my wedding?" And then the wedding is where it kind of really took off for me, where it's like, okay, I can make real money doing this. And somewhere in between the getting the camera and my first wedding, I really decided that Walmart wasn't for me. And I had like a year and a half of my bills and everything in my bank. I was like, I'm leaving Walmart. I don't care what it is, it's not worth it for me. So I quit and then just kind of jumped into doing my own thing, and eventually evolved into doing more weddings, and then went from photo weddings to video weddings, which is primarily where I make most of my money now. I'm getting more into the commercial space. So content creation in general, commercials for social media for businesses. And I really want to do more small business stuff, just because the impact that you have with a small business is so much more tangible than with a corporation like Walmart. But basically all the cool stuff that I've been doing has been me trying to perfect that craft of okay, the fire stuff with my brother's baseball bat. Most of that is done in real life. I'm not just adding flames to it. We're lighting shit on fire and
I straight up thought it was post-edit. I was like, damn, Mitch is doing fucking awesome work. I need him to teach me how to video edit.
Now I don't think I could do it that good, because adding stuff, Photoshop in its own work is its own world, and I'm decent at it. But where I really like to experiment with stuff is in camera, just because if you can make it happen in person, especially with athletes specifically, or I mean really anything, if you can make it happen in person, it has more of a memory to it. So when you look at that picture, you can think of that night, not necessarily that day that you took this random picture and oh yeah, it looked cool after he edited it, but in the moment it was just as cool if you do it in camera.
That's fair. That's incredibly fair. I didn't think of it that way at all. Like I'm normally I've done musicals, I've done, the YouTube, the Roche Productions bullshit where I was Johnny Bananas and the guy who wanted to fuck a lesbian. It's many roles. You can look up La Roche Productions and see what kind of fucked up shit I went through. But all the cool stuff that I went through getting pictures taken, even whenever I went through that small modeling stint that I haven't done because I pay them, they don't pay me. I just ruined that for everyone. Everyone thought I was getting paid and I was so cool. But yeah, no, that wasn't the case. I didn't look good till after the edits. It was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It was a lot of fun. I'm not model material. The reason I did that was because I would like to become an actor someday. And you know what? Maybe that's still down the line. Morgan Freeman didn't get his gig until he was, what, 57? So it's maybe still down the line. But I think the way you approach things, where it's more in person, more personal, more rememberable, memorable words. I was a communications major, can you tell? So that's a lot more cool. Like it's cooler, more cooler. Wow.
One
Yeah, nah. The alarm went off this morning. I didn't hit snooze. I have coffee off to the side, so it's cooler than I thought it was gonna be. Because like, you do a lot of things with body paint. We'll get to where you how you got there, but the one picture other than just the baseball bat on fire that I think of is, I imagine I know how this is done. you have something on a string, like a light on a string, like a neon light, and you're swirling it around. I imagine that is also done in person, but I also imagine that's easier than actually lighting something on fire, or maybe it's not. You're the professional here.
I mean, it's basically the same thing. So that is, it's called steel wool photography. So you literally light steel wool on fire and swing it around. And when you light steel wool, it like kind of sparks. And when you swing it, it just leaves trails. So what you're seeing in those pictures is light trails. And that was long exposure photography as a whole was like my biggest passion. Like I love it. There's a lot of like light painting stuff and there's a lot of stuff I could go into, but it will take forever. But yeah, a lot of that stuff is in person.
We have all day, baby. I make part two.
If you got all day, we make a couple parts. No, but yeah, I just kind of going off of the in-person stuff, like having the stuff in person, and I never do any of the, like I don't do body edits. Like if you have like a pimple here or whatever, like I'll do that. But something that's been really important to me as far as, you know, like I like to think I've done some really cool stuff. And I mean, you've said that you've thought the things that are really cool. So trying to
confirm
do
the
that,
stuff is cool.
Thank you. So having people confirm that, and especially when I shoot pictures of other people and have, you know, my followers or whatever confirm like, hey, you look cool in these. I think it helps a lot of people with just overall confidence maybe. But my big thing is like, okay, would it be nice, and I'll talk about myself in this aspect, right? It's like I do a lot of self-portrait stuff too. Would it be nice if I had a little bit bigger arms, if my waist was a little skinnier, if my legs were a little bigger, smaller, whatever it might be, whatever your preference is that day? Yeah. But if I edit all that, I'm never going to have it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I don't have to look at it and see the progress and see all that shit, then I'm never going to have it. So to make an unrealistic version of yourself, for me, was never the thing. And I think it's about accepting yourself and you know, just being who you are, being the version of yourself. If you're not happy with it, change it, but don't change it in the fake short way. Do it in the healthy long way. But that was a little tangent about the stuff, but the steel wool stuff is really cool. It's just really fun to do in general, because a lot of times it takes you to weird places where you wouldn't normally be, and you're in the middle of like a warehouse in the middle of night, and you're like, am I supposed to be here? Probably not. Is it dangerous here? Yes, definitely. Am I going to do it anyways? Also, yes, definitely.
That's what I was about to say. The steel wool, lighting a baseball bat on fire, going out to some abandoned warehouse in the middle of the night, it seems like your job has more risk than we initially thought. We see the final product where it's just looks fucking badass. Have you ever had anything not great happen?
I've had some close calls. Knock on wood, I've not had anything disastrous happen. I would say probably the closest, like the biggest, like, oh shit, was actually during that fire shoot. It wasn't even with the fire, oddly enough. It was with smoke bombs. So we had played with the fire, and my biggest concern with that is, so the compounds that you use to light on fire to stick to like the bats and stuff, sometimes if you put it on too thick, they'll drip. Right. And we're on a turf field on the logo of the college team. And I'm like, do not let this drop on here. So we finished that, got through it. I'm like, oh, cool. No worries. We're going to play with some smoke bombs. Smoke bombs are easy. There's not a problem. Well, we go to light some smoke bombs, and the one kid, it was my brother and his buddies, right? So the one kid wanted to like help fill the background with the smoke. So he lights the smoke bomb, and I'm getting ready. Well, apparently it was like a big stick, and it started shooting smoke from the middle and both sides. He's holding it in the middle, so when it like the fuse goes in and then it starts like sparking at all three holes. Well, his hand was like almost covering that and it burnt the shit out of his hand.
Yeah.
So naturally he drops it and this thing's still shooting out sparks and he drops it on the, like right on the hawk's face. And I'm sitting there like, no, 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 no. Like, so he ends up picking it up like by the side of it. And I literally thought it was going to like melt a hole in the hawk's face.
Yeah.
And we were going to get in a bunch of shit, But we did not. His hand was pretty burnt, but he was. I mean, it was something for a couple days.
Price you pay for fame, baby.
Well, that's the thing. He was like, "Oh, dude, I like the pictures you sent me. It was worth it." I'm like, "All right, as long as you're
right,
cool with
as
it."
long as it's worth it, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff where I would say a solid like 80% of the shoots that I do don't go anything like I plan. And it's gotten to the point where like I won't even plan a lot of shit. I'm like, hey, we're gonna show up here, we're gonna figure it out. Like, that's kind of it.
Like this
Which,
podcast.
yeah, literally, and it's preferred that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's more the more organic you can be, I think, the more authentic that your audience can see you being. Like, if you plan everything, you script everything, yeah. Like, yeah, you're gonna write down topics and have stuff to like talk about, but you're not gonna be like, oh, he's going to say, hey, do you remember that one time? And then you're gonna say, yes, that was really funny, ha ha ha. Like, it's just more.
Last one,
I
I've
just.
worked. You're the third guest I've had. With Chris, we had, our overrated. We had our top five Spotify songs on the Wrapped, and that was just we got on Spotify. We had kind of a script, but it was Spotify. We didn't know what we were gonna say about the songs. We knew what the songs were. Kept it loose, but everybody. Here's the thing I learned about podcast. People love an episode called Pilot. It's my most viewed episode. People love Guest. You're gonna do well. Overrated did well. Clinically Average did well. People love List. I think Overrated is my second most listened to podcast. And that's because we did a combination where we have Pilot's my first one, but that's curiosity piquing, you know. But that's because we have a guest and a list. People fucking ate that up. So, it is kind of my second guess was Clinically Average podcast. Going, they're on a break. Don't know what's going on. I haven't kept too in touch. I occasionally chaos going or like working on things. So I didn't know what one of them liked to plan things, and the other one was like cool with it being organic. And I obviously am an organic guy. Whenever you messaged me last night, I was like, yeah, dude, whatever the fuck happens, happens. So I went in, we recorded their podcast first, mine second. Their podcast, we ended up, we're doing our introductions. The introductions are like over, and one guy's like, so you started therapy recently? And I was like, oh, okay. Let me buckle in. Great podcast. Did numbers for them, they did numbers for me. On mine, we just kind of fucked about though. Because after having such a deep conversation on theirs, like we needed brain rest, you know? So it is something like you realize the more organic you are, the better, because people can relate. That's another cool thing is that I have a small following, you have a small following, but people who catch this podcast will be like, well, neither of those guys are The Rock. And even though Dwayne Johnson is cool as shit, I can't relate to him. This motherfucker wakes up at 4 in the morning, eats like 10 pounds of pancakes and 20 pounds of protein, however it's mixed up, goes and does Hollywood shit, then goes and be a WWE superstar at night. How do we relate to that? We can't. Where you and I have degrees from college that we don't use. I'm still not fully happy with my life, but it sounds like you're on the path to getting happy with yours, at least.
Yeah, very recently, it's been a very recent transformation. I was very not for a long time. And I think it was just a lack of direction, but getting there, yeah.
I can feel that. I was, if I didn't start therapy, I'd still probably be spiraling down. I might be dead. I was drinking 4 to 5 times a week. Any problem I had, I went to the bottle, you know?
Damn.
But I went to therapy, figured out how to cope. I eventually got to. I told Overrated whenever he started his podcast, I'd start mine. Well, he started his podcast last year. And I was like, shit, I guess I gotta do this. Started doing it. Was kind of complacent, having fun with it, but got complacent in regular life. It was go to work, come home, podcast. Sleep, repeat. I went through some shit last month So still more, yeah, February, beginning of February, went through some shit. Got really down on myself. Went on a small bender. It's okay. I have not drank in like a month. It was a small bender. We're cool. But went through this, like, I started hitting the gym more. I started reading. Rick from the Clinically Average podcast has stepped up to become like a fucking life coach almost. Dude's recommending books. He's making me go out into bars that are like populated, you know, making sure I become human again, because for the longest time I was just like a hermit that wanted nothing more than to come home. I still want nothing more than to come home and watch TV, play video games, but I didn't associate with anyone. And I'm not saying, like, a month ago I did that would I date myself thing. I'm not saying I'm fully to where I would date myself, nah. But if I was cool with a work in progress, fuck yeah. I told somebody, I looked in the mirror the other day, and for the first time I didn't just loathe what I saw. For like the first time in 10, 15 years.
Hey, man.
It was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, progress is the coolest thing. I think, so, kind of similarly, dealt with some shit this past 6 months or so. And the realization that I came to is everyone's dealing with shit, right? I think where you really find out who you are and become who you're supposed to be is when you stop dealing with shit in the easy way.
Yeah.
For me, it was, you know, relying on friends like to go out. So like, okay, in my past, if I was ever sad or upset, I had a good bit of friends I could reach out and go to the bar and, you know, chase women and do all the dumb shit. I don't want to do that. I don't think I'm going to find my person in a bar or a club or whatever, because that's not really the atmosphere that I want to go for. So sustaining from that and stepping away was difficult, especially in the moment when you're sitting there like, I am literally miserable. I don't want to do anything. The one thing I do want to do, I know I shouldn't do. But then taking all of those and replacing them with healthy habits is I think, where you really decide who you're going to be in the long run. So this kills me, but I deleted video games, and I had to delete them from all of my, like, my PC and everything, because every time I'd sit down to edit, I'd be like, oh, I'll play one game. And then I would do that for a week, and then the next week I'd play two games, and then I'd be back to playing like 6 hours a day, and I'm like, can't do that.
You used to be so fucking good. Call of Duty, Rainbow Six, my God.
Rainbow Six was the one I just deleted again.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as good as I used to be, but...
None of us are. We don't have the time to play like we did.
Well, that's the problem. Back in college, I was playing like 8 hours a day, and I'm like, oh, I'm so good. But,
I was the best game in the world, I played fucking 8 hours a day.
And that's the thing, like, if you could commit to that, yeah. I have that argument with myself a lot. Like, I'm kind of cocky in the way where I think I could be the best or, you know, very highly ranked in anything that I really want to do.
Same.
Obviously, I think the sports world is fading, where I don't, like, I'm not going to be pro level anymore because I don't have the physical capability.
32 years old, I'm not going to get that physical capability back.
Exactly. So deciding the things that I want to become good at and committing to those. For me, I wanted to be mentally healthier, physically healthier, and then more productive with my hobbies. Mm-hmm. So kind of where my career is going now is with content creation, but based off of my loves, my desire to be in the outdoors, to help people, to build community, that kind of stuff. And again, in kind of the early phases of bringing that all together, after rebranding a million different times, but a lot of that comes from having those healthier habits. You know, okay, yeah. I wanted to go to a bar. Instead of going to a bar, I'm going to go camp. Okay, I wanted to play video games. Instead of playing video games, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to edit a video or edit a thumbnail or whatever it might be. And for me, it's really helped to like kind of gamify things to where I'm like, okay, if I do this, then I get to do this. Or, you know, if I get all my stuff done by this time, then I'll allow myself to go out on this Friday night. And it's really... I mean, everyone's going to be different. So, like, picking what you want, having healthy outlets. By no means do I think video games is a bad thing. I've done it for my entire fucking life. I know a lot of people who are very successful to play video games. For me, it was so overwhelming when my, literally, like, just in my brain that I had to cut it out. Like, it was not an option for me to keep it downloaded. And it sucks because I love video games so much.
Yeah.
But
it's, I still game. I don't game near as much as I did. I play a lot more simple games. I play a lot of fucking adult visual novels. I want to, I'll play MLB The Show. I'll play Madden. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you play one game of those, maybe you want to play a second. But yeah. you never really, especially for me, I play full 9 innings. I play 15-minute quarters on Madden.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking hour-plus long game, you know? So for me, especially, you get 2 games in, you're like, I'm good. I'm good for mm-hmm. the day. So I'm wasting 2.5 hours right there. But it's fine. Where whenever you play games like Call of Duty, Rainbow Six, Smite, if you want to be good, you have to play so many hours a day. You got to play every day. I can't just, well, I did just pick up Smite on a drunken night whenever I was on my bender, and I went like 4-1 or something, which was pretty cool. But that wasn't because of me. That's because like matchmaking favored me.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, if you are a younger listener right now and your passion is video games, I hope you are in high school or college, because that's, and you gotta put in that time, you gotta rank up, you gotta make your connections then. Because once you're in the real world, once you are in where you need a job, and that job's taking 8 hours a day, you don't have the time, unless you can skip out on sleep, to work on that. However, I think if you get to the level where you're getting paid for video games, you are going to discover that before you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you can find a way to find the time to get to the level where you're going to get paid to play video games afterwards, like, props. But don't give up on video games until you have to, because would I love to play video games all day, every day? Fuck yes. I can't do it anymore. First off, we got a gut down here that we're working on getting rid of. Video games don't help me on that. The running I do in video games do not correlate to running I do in real life.
Not yet.
The lifting I do in video games does not correlate to lifting. That little controller, for once I don't have one near me, doesn't do much for whenever I curl it, you know? It's one of those things, like, once you're older, you realize there are more passions, as Mitch was saying. And one of mine is, I'm realistic here, do I think this podcast is ever going to take off to the point where I can make a living off it? No, not really. But would it be cool if I could make a few extra bucks off it eventually? Would it be cool if I had social interaction off it? Cool if I had I think it's cool right now. I have like 10 listeners that are weekly listeners that respond to me and talk to me every week. Are they my friends? Sure. But I've also had people I haven't talked to since college or I've talked to a few times here and there. You know, I had Dan... What's up, Dan? Reach out to me. And I've done a fantasy football league with him. I followed his troll account. Probably shouldn't throw him under the bus. I followed his account on Twitter.
Good save.
Yeah. I followed his account on Twitter forever. We've interacted. But he messaged me like 2 weeks ago, like, hey, man, I've been catching up on your podcast. I think it's really good. That's fucking awesome to me, dude.
Yeah,
that's it means the world. Like, people that I don't connect with every day have reached out to me, like, hey, I've checked out a few episodes. Good stuff. And, like, means the world. And I'm obviously working on getting more and more. I was talking to Mitch before this, a little behind the scenes, about how last night I was up to 1 in the morning trying to figure out how I wanted to record this before I decided to go back to Old Faithful. And I think at some point I'm going to have to make an investment on some kind of software to record, to edit, to do stuff. I was going to record this on Riverside. I shouldn't throw him under the bus because that's who produces my, or distributes my podcast. They work with the Spotify for podcasters. And I couldn't get my theme song to play on there. I've tried so hard because it'd be nice to use my distributor as an editor. And their editing layout is cool. It, like, the words I'm saying now, it translates, it puts up a script so I can go back and see, like, this is where I said something that I wanted to make sure I edited. Like, this is, like, if I were to sneeze, but I knew where I, like, what words I sneezed around, I could go look at the words and, like, yeah, this is where I sneezed, I can go take that out real quick. But their editing software was absolute shit. Other than that, I couldn't stack sound on top of videos. Like, I couldn't do voiceovers if I wanted to. And that's unfortunate, because I would have probably invested, I think it was like $30 a month to get the HD quality. You only get 720p with the free, but I would have invested to get the HD quality with a few more perks. But the fact that I couldn't do my theme song on there, and people love my theme song. I was told if I can't ever change it. I was thinking maybe season 2 I would change it, because I am going to go from season 1 to season 2 eventually. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people love my theme song, so I'll probably stick with this forever. I mean, it's just royalty-free music.
No.
You know? It's, they say it had a very Letterkenny vibe, very Shoresy vibe, which are my favorite shows. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think we find that niche, what mm-hmm. works for us. And a lot of people ask me what my topics are. Like, what topic do you talk about during your podcast? I can't answer that. Because I don't want to limit myself to a topic. What you get whenever you tune into the podcast with me is something completely unique. It's whatever the fuck's going on in my brain. And my brain doesn't work the same as anyone else's. That's true for everyone. Let me make this motivational real quick. Mitch's brain doesn't work like anyone else's. Mitch's brain's completely unique. You listening, your brain is completely unique. Your appearance, everything you do is unique. So why not embrace that? And this is something I learned over the past month, reading, like, the books I've been reading everything, and, like, watching the videos that are, like, I've been trying to discover myself. And what I've realized is, I am myself. There's nobody like me, you know? And I think that's something that you can also relate to, because you said you've recently figured out your hobbies and stuff that you want to do. There's nobody like you. Your work is unique. Because a lot of people would go and edit body flaws, try and make their customer happy, where it sounds like you motivate.
Yeah, I think I mentioned something along these lines earlier, but, like, I'm just so much for the long term than the short term.
Yeah.
As of lately, and that has definitely not been my view for most of my life, especially if you have any young listeners currently listening. Like, I didn't think about my future until after college, and that's definitely not how that's supposed to work.
No.
I feel like that's what a lot of people work, that's how it works for a lot of people. But I think that's also why so many people will relate to us earlier in the podcast, where we said, we have college degrees that we never fucking use.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, because you just don't, okay, I'm here, this is what I like right now, I'm never going to use it again, but that doesn't matter to me in this current moment. So adjusting to that and just changing your outlook on it. And I do think, again, this isn't even just for young listeners, for anyone. Like,
most of my listening base is older.
Right now, but
I relate with the old folk.
Hey, same, if you can't tell. At any point in your life, I never think it's too late to change your path and to be like, hey, this isn't taking me to where I want my end goal to be, and it's now or never. So, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, change your whole life, but it could be change this little habit. It could be change this career. It could be change whatever. And some people do that to different levels. Some people never do it. Some people do it every day. Like, it might be different. But I do think I think happiness is found where you find an intersection of your passions, something you can do every day, something you can, you know, at least, I don't want to say profit off of, because you don't have to make a ton of money to be happy, and I don't think money and happiness are directly correlated. I definitely think it can help take away some stress. But finding that intersection of what I'm good at, what I like to do, and what I can get paid to do is definitely I think a good thing to discover as soon as you can, but you don't necessarily have to act on it as soon as you figure it out. Just kind of keep it in the back pocket.
Yeah, I said something last night to somebody. We were getting into like a deeper conversation, and I said, I imagine the only true goal we can try to accomplish is to be happy. Can't be happy all the time, though, because you have to experience the sad and the mad and everything else and know what happening to happiness is. Life is strange. And I think that's something like we got to realize, especially like for the younger audience, you know, like you're going to fuck up. You're going to have mistakes. And the thing is, learn from my mistake here. Whenever I was in my younger 20s, whenever I graduated college, whenever I fucked up, I've went to fuck up more. I was like, well, I'm already at rock bottom. I might as well, you know, misery loves company or some shit. I might as well go get drunk. I spent all my money on alcohol. I never had money to do anything because I was drinking all the time. And I'm broke now, but I'm broke now in a way that I'm doing stuff that I want to do. I'm not just drinking all the time. I'm not just miserable all the time. So learn from my mistake where, like, whenever you fuck up, learn from it. I'm sure Mitch can also attest to this. Whenever you fuck up, learn from it. That's the biggest thing you can do in life. Learn from your mistakes. Don't just like, oh, well, I already fucked up. Might as well continue fucking up. Because that's how you end up depressed or worse.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at failure as a negative thing, and it's really not.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck up. You're going to fail. The most successful people in our entire history have all failed more than we ever will. And the reason they were the most successful people is because they failed and they learned. Like, no matter what you're doing, if you do the same thing and you're getting the same result, you're insane, right? Like, that's the definition of insanity, is something along the lines of doing the same thing and expecting different results but never getting it. But failing, like, I want to fail. I want to do something to where I'm not comfortable, because if I'm always in my comfort zone and I'm always succeeding, I'm not improving. You only improve when you fail. So, yeah, I think that by itself is a huge lesson to take.
That's losing might be frustrating, but you got to lose to become a better winner.
Yeah, motivates you so much more. Losing, I don't know about for everyone, but for all the, I would say a solid 95% of the people that I've had in my life forever, losing is so much more of a motivator than winning. Like, I hate losing significantly more than I love winning.
I think that's, more. I think if you, I don't know, have you ever watched Shorzy?
I have not. I've watched some Letterkenny, but not Shorzy.
So, Shorzy is a Letterkenny spinoff where the main character, Wayne from Letterkenny, is the main character, Shorzy. So they had to, like, separate him so they could use his face.
Love that.
And the entire first season, they're losing so much. And the reason Shorzy says he needs a different team around him, and he says, the problem isn't that they love winning. They all love winning. It's that they don't hate losing. Mm-hmm. Like, and it resonates so much with me, because winning feels good. Yeah, no better feeling. But losing is that fucking bad where there's no worse feeling.
Yeah. So it's literally painful.
Yeah. You gotta lose to appreciate the wins. The reason winning feels so good is because losing feels so bad. And then ties just happen. ties are like the most bland thing. But
yeah, I've never played anything where you can tie, so I can't relate to that too much.
I have. I mean, if you ever want to feel blah, I mean, you're not mad. You're not happy. Like I said, during my year of coaching, or my 6 weeks of coaching last year, we lost, we tied, and then we won. And during that tie, me and my assistant coach at the time literally just looked at each other and shrugged. Like, I threw out the, well, at least we didn't lose. And he's like, nah, I guess. And that's what it is. Like, you don't care.
Yep.
It's very much the fuck it of sports.
Oh, 100%.
This, I can see that. Let's just pretend this didn't happen, huh? But the win felt good. You know, the win felt that much better because we haven't won yet. was getting frustrated, dude. The best part to me was, and this is gonna sound terrible because like the kids were happy, which is great, but the kids weren't. I don't think I had kids that hated losing.
Yeah.
But the assistant coach hated losing. And I could tell whenever he was coming to practice, whenever he's coming to the game, it was weighing on him. To see him light up after the win could almost bring a tear to my eye. Like, just beautiful seeing somebody who was so dejected get that win and, like, light up, you know? But we have one more thing to cover, and we're very into this. We've talked about your business. We've talked about our history, how we got here. By the way, real quick, shout out your business.
So I have two pages that I typically post a lot of my stuff on, highfrequency_media. It's all the media stuff I do, so commercials. Most recently, it's been a lot of like tattoo shops, some different photo projects I was working on, some travel stuff. And then I also have my Meander and Mitch account, where it's basically just my travels and places I'm going.
And I'm glad you plugged them both, because we got to get to the meandering part. When did you... Well, first off, we're both very in college yet. When did you decide, I want to travel a bunch? And how did you go about it for those of us like me who are like, I'm too poor to do this shit?
The real beginning to my travel, like, I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've always enjoyed just being in new places. But it really started for me a few years ago. So without giving too much personal information out, while I was working at Walmart, I had a friend who was who left to go to Air Force. Well, she got stationed out in Ramstein, out in Germany, and she would send me pictures because she knew I was doing photography. So she'd send me pictures of all these cool ass places she's going. Like, she'd be in the middle of these mountains and all this stuff. And then one day I'm like, hey, quit fucking sending me these pictures and just invite me out there already. She's like, you actually want to come out? I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And again, this is after I quit Walmart and was basically just coasting off of what I had savings, right? So I pulled up tickets, and they were like $1,600, $1,200, somewhere in there. And I was like, I probably shouldn't do that. And she's like, hey, you come out, you stay with me. Like, I'll pick you up, I'll take you. Like, you literally just have to get here. I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. Well, the next week, I looked at tickets, and they were $600. I'm like, well, when's the next time I'm going to have a chance to go to leave the country for the first time, which I had always wanted to do, for $600 for 2 weeks? Probably not going to happen. So I was like, hey, you serious about me coming out there? Yes, absolutely. Send her a screenshot of my ticket. Be like, all right, I'll be out there next week. So literally within like 2.5 weeks, had this, hey, invite me out there, and then arriving there kind of thing. But I left the country, traveled around while out in Germany. COVID was still, it was making its comeback, actually. So when I got there, everything was green. By the time I left, everything was in at least orange. Traveled around, got to see a bunch of cool stuff. And the thing was, as I was going around all these places out there, and I'm traveling small town to small town and all that stuff, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's all stuff I haven't seen. But when I came back and I realized how much I had spent, because I ended up spending, you know, much more than I planned on, but still a lot less than I would have on a normal trip. But I kind of realized that the amount of money, the thing that I spent money on wasn't things that let me experience new places as much. It was things while I was in those places, which I'm okay with. But I kind of got mad at myself. Like, why did I have to leave the country to go explore stuff? Why can't I go explore down the road? Why can't I go explore, you know, next city over, next state over? And that's kind of where that thought process came in. Well, during that kind of, like, the next year or so, I did a little bit more travel, but not too much. And then one of my high school best friends and I both went through a breakup at the same time. And it was kind of like that, hey, we're both upset. Let's go get our drink our faces off. I was like, I just don't really want to do that, man. And his birthday was coming up. He's like, find something for us to do. I don't care what. And I'm down. Like, all right, I'll find something for your birthday. So I found this this camping group actually on Facebook, and joined it. And they had an event that was like literally his birthday weekend. I was like, hey, you want to go camp with a bunch of strangers? He's like, yeah, let's do it. So go to a camping event and literally just meet 30 people who are like now. A solid like 10 or 15 of them are like some of my best friends, like the people I talk to the most. I live with two of them currently, which is terrible. No, it's they're great. I've met a lot of great people, have had a lot of great experiences. But the best thing that's come from that group is the mindset of like, do it how you can. There's people out there that want to do it. I want to say a lot of the campsites we go to are like $4 a person. We're driving together, so we're spending like, maybe $20 in gas, and then maybe another 20 in food. So for my thought process, for me, and people's budgets are going to be different, right? But especially when I first started it, was, hey, if I can spend 40 bucks for the weekend or $50 for a weekend, Friday to Sunday, that's cheaper than how I used to go out and on a Friday night, I would just drink $50 worth of booze pretty quick, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So my thought process was if I can go enjoy a new experience for equal or less money, ideally less, but even if it's equal, I need to start doing that. And the more I did that, the more friends I made and the more options I had. So, it started with going to one state over to Ohio. And then so far, I had trips in Texas, Indiana, like literally, like, I've gone hundreds of miles to these different states and places to meet people or hang out with people that I wouldn't have made if I wouldn't have made that first trip. But again, the more you do that, the cheaper it gets because the more options you have. The carpooling with friends, the, oh, hey, just crash at my place. The, oh, yeah, my family friend has this cabin that they just let anyone use. Like that kind of stuff. So I think just starting is really the thing with that. And then you kind of figure out your priorities. Because, I mean, for some people, they might look at it like, hey, if I can't experience this to the full extent of it, I don't want to experience it at all. That's not personally my experience, or that's not personally my view. I think if you can like something at budget, you'll really like it at luxury. So to not do it is, to me, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no,
But,
that does make a lot of sense what you're saying, because whenever I was thinking travel, I believe there's a weekend you went to New Orleans, right?
not New
Was
Orleans,
that you I was thinking of? Tennessee.
Tennessee,
Okay.
yeah,
Yeah,
Nashville,
south.
yeah, somewhere
But
down there, Party City.
yeah, I remember seeing your videos of that, and I was thinking like those travels, you know, and I'm like, that seems like it could be pricey, but like whenever you bring in the, you know, we're camping, we're getting $20 food, we're carpooling, there's more people involved. The more people involved, the less you end up spending. That all does make a lot of sense. And I mean, you're getting a hell of an experience out of it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's been a couple trips where I've spent more money than I would have liked. But I think the balance definitely comes from, being able to spend $20 this weekend and then, $200 next weekend. If you go and you expect to spend $200 or, $2,000 every weekend, you're running out of money pretty quick. But having that like average be a little lower is kind of where it's helped me succeed with it anyways.
I mean, I'm going to Columbus here in June just for like a weekend, and have a full weekend of activity planned. Rhett and Link from Good Mythical Morning are gonna
Hey.
they're performing in
Oh
Columbus
shit.
that weekend, and then we're me and my friends love doing escape rooms, so we're going to do some escape rooms and go to the Columbus Zoo because we love animals. They have a small babby now. Yeah, he's actually probably pretty big now compared to what he was, but they have a small babby, and you know, I've never been to the zoo, so take him to one of the best zoos, I think, in the world, technically. I don't know if you've ever been to the Columbus Zoo. It's pretty fucking awesome.
I have not. I do have some friends from Columbus, and I've done a couple of escape rooms in Columbus. So hit me up when you're ready to do that if you need any recommendations.
Will do. Will do for sure. Do apologize for texting during your story, but there's a reason for that. If you want to check it out, because the text was to you,
Uh-oh.
it's something that we're going to get to here shortly. But first, let's do a little quick recap for people who just kind of want to more understand how we got here. It's Mitch and I went to college together. I was. What the fuck were they, like, orientation leader? I was an orientation leader, and we had this fake cash that we gave out, Red Hawk bucks or some bullshit. And I told Mitch to, if he went up to this girl and kissed her hand, I'd give him 50 Red Hawk bucks or whatever the amount was back then. This fucker did it. Been pretty good friends ever since. Unofficial roommates at one point. Just kind of, how'd that go? Your roommate moved out, and then I just never filled out the paperwork. I just moved my shanty room.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah, so roommate moves out. Like, he was one of those baseball players who left, like, first or, like, as late as possible spring semester and then moved rooms. And we had such a cool set. I still have a picture that pops up on my memories all the time of us playing Outlast with you under the bottom bunk. Remember that picture?
Where I remember it for sure. We did have a sick layout because our TVs are right beside each other.
Yeah.
They were both, for the time, bigger TVs,
Oh,
nicer
yeah.
TVs for gaming. And it was nice because normally in games you have to call shit out. And instead of calling shit out, we were good to the point where, like, we could look over and see what the other person was doing. And it's like, all right, well, if he's flanking this way, I can come around the back this way. And then we'll converge on the same target. And it was sick. We had parties, not at La Roche. I mean, they were very dry parties. There was a night where your girlfriend at the time came over with her roommate.
Oh, shit.
I had a fucking report due the next morning at like 8 in the morning, and I had to basically babysit your girlfriend's roommate that night.
Yeah. Was that the
And
night she was trying to, like, jump out the window from the fourth floor?
but it was that wasn't like why she was trying to do that. She was trying to do that to get me to, because even though she had, we won't mention names, so even though she had a boyfriend, like, Mitch has a had, I don't know if it still exists anywhere, had a video where I was playing South Park Stick of Truth. And this girl was literally like petting me because I had a beard long. I looked like this. But she's literally like petting me, like, oh, you're like a giant teddy bear. And I'm just like, that's great. Cool.
Literally not giving her a single drop of attention. Oh,
As
shit.
I was like, I it was well made known to me by your roommate that you have a boyfriend, and she's staring daggers into me. So I gaming. So yeah, she didn't want to. She wasn't trying to jump out the window to like jump out the window. She was like, if I jump out the window, he'll grab me and hold on to me.
Literally.
Meanwhile, at 8 in the morning, I have a report due. So I think it was 6:30 a.m. She finally passes out. I had to go hammer out this fucking report in an hour and a half. And I think it had to be like fucking 10 pages. Pulled it off. But wild times we had.
We did.
But we will.
Oh, we did.
And this podcast was supposed to be in person. My schedule sucks. Mitch's schedule sucks. It was like, hey, let's get the podcast done. And then sometime whenever our schedules align, hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll get together and then we'll create more content. I don't know if there's a part two of this podcast coming, but Mitch has a TikTok, an Instagram, Facebook page.
Yeah, I
Facebook
haven't.
page.
personal and business, all of both. I don't care.
Personal business where he puts all his creations. We've done the podcast for me. He'll have the video to do what he wants to do with it. I have to make a YouTube and stuff still for Shrek Attack. So this the audio for this will be released on a Thursday. I don't know why I'm trying to get specific for you mostly. The podcast will be released on, you know, this upcoming Thursday. But the video might be a little bit later depending on how I get things figured out. I let my audience vary behind the scenes if you couldn't tell. So, yeah, there will be a part two to content, maybe not a podcast, but we're going to have to make the TikToks, the Instagrams, and the Facebook medias, which honestly will probably be the same video across all media. We got to get Mitch content. And then, the most important part, Mitch and I got to hang out and catch up.
That we definitely do. It has been way too long.
Oh, for sure. Way too long. For sure. We talk about it all the time, but then I work 2 p.m. to midnight most days, and you're meandering now.
Yeah, I'm barely ever in the state anymore, it seems like.
Maybe one of these times I'll get out meandering with you if I set up a vacation.
100%, dude. And now that we're relatively, like, I just moved recently, and I'm closer to you than I've ever been.
Yeah. We'll work shit out. We'll work shit out off camera.
100%.
Yeah. This is that point, that thing where I texted you. You can say that now.
Yeah. You mean hit the fucking music?
Yeah. Huge shout out to Mitch for spending this time with me. Longest episode yet, but I think we made it interesting. Follow him at @highfrequency_media and @meandering_Mitch. Follow me at @TheRealBShrek and @ShrekAttack. We will do something in the future. I just wanted to remind you that next week I will be releasing on Friday instead of Thursday, and it will be Friday from here on out, as opposed to Thursdays. If you made it this far, if you're listening to the after credit content, thank you so fucking much. Love you. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.